My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Good evening, everybody. It's a Friday night. Posh are playing Exeter, and we are back at home after three away trips on the road. Every player's legs are fried. Their hips have seized because they spent too long on a bus. And we're here again to preview it all. I've got Charlie tonight. Charlie is very well dressed tonight because I can only assume that he's going out after this. So, Chaz, what are your plans for tonight? Tell us all about them.
No, I'm actually not tonight. I'm having a quiet night in. Maybe going over to someone's flat to play Wii games, which might be fun. But other than that, I'm not getting active at all. What I will say is you are right, Ash. The squad is looking like me after Freshers Week. It is in Shrugsville right now. Some seriously tired legs out there. I am not feeling massively great about the way we're looking. So I'm sure we'll discuss that. We had the hard truth today, didn't we? So that's going to be some hard truth for us to digest, definitely, after that one. And yeah, it's going to be, well, a good chance to bounce back tomorrow against Exeter. That is for certain.
Well, I do not want to dive any further into your Wii Sports games with whoever it is that you are going to spend your Friday evening with, and I won't ask whether they are male or female because I'm sure the comments will work that all out. We did have an Exeter fan lined up, but unfortunately they've bailed on us. So before I bring in our fake Exeter fan, if there are any Posh fans watching that fancy dipping in tonight, let us know in the comments or drop me a DM or whatever. I'll ping you over the link and you can come in and join us on this lovely Friday evening just to stop me and Charlie rambling. With all that said, though, let's bring in Mr. Friend of the Pod, Defo and Exeter fan, Jake Tong. Jake, good evening. How are you?
Now then, gents, how are we? I'm good. Yeah, I'm surprisingly good, mate. Look, Exeter playing red and white, stripes. The prefix is City, so I'm going with it.
I simply cannot believe I've had to see you on my screen again before the end of the season. I thought we were done after the 5-2, but there
Mate,
we are.
Mate, you're an avid League One Live watcher. Don't even try that with me, Charlie. I didn't even know how to pronounce your surname. That's how important you are.
McLaren, much like the F1 season coming in. Let's briefly talk Lincoln because we, of course, had some small banter, didn't we, about a potential playoff competition between Peter and Lincoln. I think that is now over, definitely from Posh's side of things. How confident are you that Lincoln don't bottle it?
I'm not. It's difficult, but I feel pretty confident. We're 15 unbeaten. We're playing some of the best football in the entire league. We're selling out away ends. We're having a good time. But there's still, what have we got, 14 games left? So we've still got 42 points.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think I mean, we beat Northampton 4-0, which I thought was going to do me some sort of favour coming on here this evening.
It may do, but that's only if we need a result tomorrow big time because we are on the back of two losses and we can't. We've got them next weekend. We simply cannot go into that.
Can't lose the Cobblers.
Another loss. They're all... We've got a terrible record there as well recently, in that I think We lost to them in the summer. I'm sure that we lost to them last winter. So hopefully third time lucky. But Jake, I suppose I should ask you what you know about Exeter, if anything at all. You are a League One. Charlie said it before. You are a League One expert, apparently. So you've got to tell us all about Exeter, everything you've learned from your time watching them and predicting them, I guess.
Yeah, Charlie's just trying to flirt with me in a bit of practice for what he's got going on after the live show, no doubt. But yeah, Exeter in a bit of a weird situation right now, obviously. Gary Colwell has literally just left the building. He's gone to Wigan. So I think what you're facing is a lot more unknown. I think Dan Green is the guy that's currently in caretaker charge, which is a bit weird given that their rivals are Plymouth Argyle and they play in Green. So I think that I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, I think it's an easier task for Peterborough to be playing against Exeter, because under Gary Colwell, as you well know, you've seen Exeter under Gary Colwell for a couple of years now. They are so well regimented. They play really well. They're probably more of a home team than they are away from home, a better team at home. But this year, they do have the knack of getting the odd result away from home. So they sit in and dig deep. I mean, they came to Central Bank earlier in the season. They're the only team to win at Central Bank this season. They won 1-0 with their only shot on target in the last minute. So they are capable. As much as I say they are very much a home team, on the laurels tomorrow, you need to make sure you go and get 2-3 goals. Because they will hang in games and they've got some good players.
Well, I guess the question is, do you think that there's, if you don't sack your manager, because Exeter haven't sacked a manager in like 20 years, is it? Is that the stat? Like,
that's right.
Can you have a new manager bounce if you don't sack your manager? Or is it very easy for Dan Green, do you think? And he just basically says, look, what we were doing under Gary Colwell worked, so let's just stick with that. He's not going to try and make too many changes, surely.
Yeah, have you never had a manager leave for a better job than Peter when you have an interim and they come in and there's a bit of a bounce, right? I mean, I remember...
Have we ever had a manager leave for a better job at Posh? So, I don't know. Dara likes to sack managers.
Fergie didn't leave for Preston, did he? That was like...
I think that Dara has sacked the managers before they've left because we've been crap, basically.
Well, I remember when we had Danny Cowley and he went to Huddersfield and we had an interim, Jamie McComb, who I think played for Posh, actually, I don't know if he did, he might not have done, but he's a professional footballer. He stepped in and we had a bit of a bounce straight after. So, yeah, I think it can happen when your manager goes and gets a better job. But yeah, I mean, they picked up, they did pretty well. They got a last minute equaliser on Tuesday night against Wickham, which was quite a good result given, you know, Wickham, since Michael Duff's come in, I'm sure you've spoken to Wickham fans this year about how good they've been under Michael Duff. So it's a good point. And Exeter, I think everyone had them, if they did their 1-24 right down the bottom of the league, because they're a fan-owned club like Wimbledon. They don't have huge resources compared to everybody else. And they are comfortably in mid-table. So Exeter they're consistently overachieved. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they can definitely get a bit of a bounce. But, it is a big loss, Gary Colwell, because I think he was one of the most underrated managers in League One.
Yeah, he was a name that people banded around when Posh, obviously, when we've split with Ferguson. What are the danger men then for Exeter? Which players should we be looking out for and be shaking in our boots when we face them?
I'm not sure shaking is quite the correct terminology. They have got some good players. Jaden Wareham is one that you'd look at. I think he scored 15 goals in all comps. I like the fact that he plays with his shirt tucked in. I don't know if that's just a very niche thing, but he's a centre forward. They signed him from Reading. I think his parents are quite active on TikTok, Daz and Maz. And they love a bit of controversy with the Reading fans. But he's scoring goals for fun. I think he scored the goal actually on Tuesday night from recollection. They've got Niskanen, who's a Finnish international. He's a wing back. For the last couple of years, he's been so unproductive. But I think he had a run in December where he got 8 goal involvements in like 6 games, all assists. I think he plays on the right of the back five. So he gets up and down. And they've actually just signed a guy on loan from Sunderland who I can't pronounce his surname. So I don't know if you want to go. I think his name's Tutierov. Timu Tutierov is a Ukrainian under 21 international on loan from Sunderland. I think he scored twice in his first 2 games as well. He's something that they didn't have before in terms of a really quick wide player, because most of their good players are down the the spine of their team, like Ed Turns. They've got Pierce Sweeney, who's a big old boy now. They've got, who else have they got? Reece Cole and Jaden Waring, obviously. And Joe Whitworth as a goalkeeper. I think he's one of the better goalkeepers in the league. I don't know about you guys, but I was so surprised to see him end up back at Exeter in the summer, given the year that he had last year. Like,
yeah, that was a weird one, wasn't it? And I'm sure that they started this season quite strong as well with him in goal, and then it definitely dropped off. But look, you mentioned Pierce Sweeney there. Kellen has said that he thinks that they should be licking their lips because of how frail we are defensively. Jake, are you familiar with Posh's struggles at the moment with injuries?
Well, yes, and also I saw you just over a month ago, your defensive frailties. What was it? Five? Was it five again? Five? Look, Exeter.
Let the record show that we did manage to double our output though in that game.
Compared to
the previous year. So yeah, like that's
and walked away with the same amount of points, right? Congrats.
Yeah, you're right. It's all about goal difference this year.
You get the playoffs on goal difference. Yeah, good luck. I can understand that. Exeter are they're quite a physical team. So I think they will, you know, Pierce Sweeney, I'm sure you've seen the size of him both height-wise and also width. So he's definitely a threat in the box. So yeah, I can understand because you guys have got injury concerns. Tom Lees, was it the Bradford game he pulled out of?
Yeah.
Before, no Sam Hughes. Akagbe, I know he had you guys can tell me more. He had a bit of a spell in the team, did really well, then had a spell out of the team and you look shambolic. I don't know if Akagbe's back. I don't know if you're going to have to rely on George Nevitt, which I think at League One level to rely on George Nevitt as good as a player he might be. I think against a physical experienced centre forward, he's probably found wanting a little bit. So, yeah, I can understand where he's coming from because I think you guys are definitely miles better going forward than you are defensively. And that, for me, that's just always been Peterborough.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about, I remember last time we played Exeter and we had Josh McGuinness up front and we had Carl Johnston marking him in a back three and it was an absolute shambles and we got beat 3-0. And that was sort of the game that then really kicked us up the arse and then we ended up doing some business in the last 2 days of the window. It was the last game inside the summer transfer window. I mean, the squad's developed a lot since then, but still I'm concerned that they play a very solid 3-5-2, 3-4-3. It's not been a good fit for us. I mean, when we played you, what shape did you play at Lincoln?
4-2-3-1 we played, I think.
4-2-3-1. Yeah, I'm not feeling good. I don't know why. I've just the physicality, I think, of Exeter. They're a very physical side, aren't they, Jake?
Oh, yeah, I think you get that in League One, right? I think that's the bread and butter of League One. And I think maybe when you look at when D-Mac and Luke Williams come to recruit in the summer, you guys need to recruit, in my opinion, some nasty, nasty players that just stand up to the test of it. Because I don't think you're going to get promoted out of League One playing pretty football. I can't remember the last team, bar Birmingham, who were probably like the best League One team ever, but had about five times the budget everyone else. I don't think you get promoted out of League One playing pretty attractive football. So they will come and ruffle your feathers. They will try and leave one on you. They will, you know, expect that tomorrow. You've got to stand up to it. But I think as well as that, I think they have got some technically very gifted players. Ethan Brearley was one that I didn't mention. He's on loan from Brentford. He's come through at Rochdale, I think. He's a really, really good young player who technically carries the ball in midfield. It's the kind of signing Peterborough United make on a permanent contract, Ethan Brearley. So, I don't know, maybe one to keep an eye out in the summer if D-Mac watches. But, there'll be a challenge for you tomorrow. They will have a go at you. They will.
I'll butt in there. It's a great question. Does D-Mac watch? Who knows? Because I don't know whether you've listened to the latest Hard Truth, but we are active again. Dara is talking about us. He is not happy with Lods or Charlie saying that we wouldn't have a single player from Bradford's team. Was there something else? Oh, it was the cracked mirror, wasn't it? Of course, yes, it was the cracked mirror. So not sure if you're too familiar, Jake, with this one, but Dara basically had a cracked mirror in his new house, and that is the reason why we've had so many injuries. The mirror got replaced and we've still had injuries. So it was the mirror. The mirror is to blame, and there's obviously just a bit of a lag on that. So Do you think that we're going to have any luck tomorrow? Because, you know, like normally when we get these fans on, we always say this, don't we? We always feel like you either go massively positive or massively negative after the away fan has been on. And all you're telling me is that we're just going to get bullied again, aren't we?
Well, yeah, but I definitely think you can exploit them down the sides. And when you've got players like Karel Lisby at the minute, who is probably one of the most informed wide players in the league, maybe just behind Rico Hackett, I would suggest. No one bit. That's not very fun. I would suggest that. But yeah, I think you can definitely get down the sides of Exeter. And pace seems to be a little bit of something that they lack going backwards. They played Pierce Sweeney as an outside centre-half, and Luca Woodhouse played on Tuesday against Wickham. And I don't think he's the quickest. And Ed Turns, when I watched him play for Crewe, had a bit of a tractor-esque turning circle. So, or you could say turn like milk, which probably would have been better, wouldn't it? But yeah, no, I definitely think, Peter, if you have pace at the top end of the pitch, like Jimmy J. Morgan, not sure if he's available. If you have Lisby available, Declan Thrift, I know, is a big talking point for you boys away at Barnsley midweek. The sort of player probably gets a bit of joy out of Exeter because he's quick round the sides and can play the ball across when he wants to. So yeah, I think there's a bit in it for Peter, but like, as a neutral, I expect this to be a Peterborough win because yes, they'll probably come and try and impose themselves. But if you score one goal, this Exeter team, in my opinion, will just drop their heads, and I think you'll be able to go and see the game out pretty comfortably.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Looking at then just from a broader perspective, obviously, as a neutral, we ourselves have sort of, and I think Dara on The Hard Truth today, sort of ruled ourselves out of the playoff picture now for this season. Felt like we probably needed to win either the Barnsley or Bradford game, or ideally get something out of both to be involved. I know we're only 5 points off it still somehow, but feels very unlikely. Where do you see the playoff race in League One going? Obviously, you're going to play against the sixth place team in the playoffs. So who do you think you're going to be facing?
It's a good effort, mate, but I don't support Bolton. So good effort there, Charlie. I know you say that you're only 5 points off the playoffs with a game in hand or whatever, or two games in hand. There's a lot of teams. I don't think Huddersfield are the bar because, yes, they hold the sixth place at the minute, but I think when everyone plays games in hand, in terms of PPG, everyone flies above Huddersfield. I think Stevenage probably do. Luton have got a game in hand on them. They're only 4 points behind. So, if you want my outside bet for the playoffs, because we always say, like I've said it to you guys, I'm sure, one team comes from nowhere and gets in there. My team is Reading. I just think they're the most complete of the chasing pack. They're more consistent. You know, you look at the contenders, right? Huddersfield, massively established squad, loads of money. But Liam Manning, it looks like they've fallen off a cliff, right, under Liam Manning. Luton, unbelievable at home. God-awful away from home. I don't know if you watched them. Wednesday night away at Wigan, and Joe Taylor scored the winning goal, which I quite enjoyed. But they were awful, and they have been awful away from home all season. You've got Stevenage, who are pretty much a rugby team, who God knows how you let them do the double over you lot, because they are horrific. They don't score goals, yet you somehow lost twice. 1-0 to them? Both times.
Yeah, first was a penalty though, and then the second attempt, we literally had three right backs on the pitch, like as our starting defence and an 18.
Yeah, and you were claiming for a penalty at the end, weren't you? Which was never a pen.
No. Let's just get one thing crystal clear here: the Referees Association have literally written to us and told us that it should have been a penalty, and that it should have been a foul on Alex Bass in the build-up to that goal. So, make of that what you will. We've been cheated out by another referee, another shambolic referee. Send them all down to the seventh tier of football, I say.
Well, so you got Steven, and then you've got your real outsiders, Wickham, yourselves, and maybe Plymouth. I mean, I know they've got a game in hand on you, obviously. They're only a point behind, but they're the opposite to Luton. Unbelievable away from home. I think they've won their last two games on the road on an aggregate score of 7-1. They beat Blackpool 4-0 at the weekend in Argyle. Orient 3-1 in the week, but at Home Park they are just awful. But I will say about Plymouth, and you've seen them, I know they come to you and beat you the other week, didn't they? They've got some players in really good form. Bin Pebble, they've got Talai coming back now. I think, but they've got to be flawless. But if you're asking me, I think it's going to be, the playoffs will be, I think will be Bolton, Stockport, Bradford and Reading will be my four.
That's a difficult one, isn't it? Because the way that I see it for Poshes is that I think we've got to sweep away the last two results quite quickly, because otherwise it could just go downhill like so, so fast, especially with little to no like backups now. Like our backups are basically 17, 18 year olds, and I don't think it's fair on them to put the pressure on them to expect them to climb the table. But like, how do you get away from it when they're the only people that you can play? And we want to see, Dara said in that episode that went out today that he suggested to Luke Williams just to play the kids, but then you're talking about kids just basically being bullied on a football pitch, and we've seen it. We saw it with George Nevitt last week, and he was probably one of the youngest ones, but is one of the most experienced ones at the same time, and he just looks so poor. This is the issue. Like, it's going to be a nothing season for Posh, but grateful that. Yeah, but
I think what you want to do is what Portsmouth did a little bit under John Messina a couple of years ago, if you can remember. They brought him in the January. Obviously, Luke Williams has come in a couple months before that. Had a really strong end to the season. Even looking at Nathan Jones at Charlton, he kept them up, but built a bit of momentum. And then in the summer, they attacked the window. Pompey went attacked the window and got themselves promoted. I think Peterborough need to be trying to end the season as well as they can. Obviously, I don't think you're going to finish in the playoffs. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You were bottom of the league when Williams came in November. So if you can finish top 10, having been where you were, I think that's a very good season. But you want to try and have one eye on next year, right? Because I think, although having said that, I think League One's going to be a little bit more tough next year if Leicester come down, Blackburn come down, Wednesday come down. I think it's going to be quite a difficult one. You're going to have probably Bolton, Stockport maybe, Luton will be better, maybe Bradford as well. So it's not one that I'd like to be in next year. But I think you've got to turn to it a little bit and really try and end the season well and build a bit of momentum, I think.
Yeah, but I do you not think that we'll be better as well? We're hearing constant things about how our pre-season last year was absolutely rubbish under Fergie, even though they were doing triple sessions and fitness was meant to be the best that we've ever seen. I mean, there was definitely comments of players coming back with their tops off and just being absolutely shredded. Like, do you not think that there's a chance that if Luke Williams gets those, two or three players, do you think, that are like the core like of your team, that there's a chance that Posh can go on and push on next season?
Yeah.
Even if it is harder?
I think there's a world where Peterborough sort the house out finally and get themselves back up towards the top end of League One. Certainly under a manager like Luke Williams, who's shown when he came in, you had that massive bounce, didn't you? You beat Cardiff, you beat Wimbledon. I think it's possible that you guys are back in and amongst it. You've got to have a good window. You guys normally spend as well. So I imagine you'll probably spend a couple of, not millions, but you'll spend a couple hundred grand on a couple of players, no doubt. But I really think you want to be trusting the ones that are in the building at the minute. Like, I think you want to try and build your team like a Brandon Keller, because he's only young, but I think he's a cornerstone of your team for the next couple of years. Harry Leonard, another one. Lisby on the wing. If you can get a right winger, I think maybe Kean Hayes might be that guy. He might not be. He's a bit inconsistent. But you want to try.
He's crap, but he ain't great. Did you see his corner on Tuesday night?
I didn't. But Nappers is a big fan of Kean Hayes, obviously.
Yeah, well, of course he is, because he came from bloody Fleetwood, didn't he? Previously, so he was in Fleetwood Academy. So I'm not surprised. I don't think that his level is anything above League One, unfortunately. Despite what Harry constantly tells me that we're going to sell him for £5 million, I just can't see it. And if rumours are to be believed, we may have another Lisby on our hands, which would be an absolute masterclass from
Kyrese is a really good player. He's performing really well for Danny Cowley at Colchester. I can imagine there'd be quite a, well, I think there was rumours of Oxford, wasn't there, in the January transfer window. So if he's getting championship attention now and he continues to have a strong end of the season, maybe that's where he goes in the summer. I don't know. But yeah, I also think maybe fullbacks are a bit of an area for Peter. I know you guys will laugh. It's a bit of an area of concern for me when I look at Peterborough United. I don't think Donnelly's a good right back, but he's still quite young. I think you could probably do with like a maybe more experienced, proper EFL right back. Maybe take copy and paste what we did with Tendai Dariqua, right? Who's won the league before, come in and just help him and take the pressure off him. Left back has been a nightmare for Peterborough United for the last couple of years. You had Rio Adebisi, who was a top player, but never played. And then you've got Mills.
We signed a left back, haven't we, Chaz? Is that right?
Apparently we signed one on a pre-contract. I mean, I need to do some serious digging. Apparently we signed a 23-year-old left back on a pre-contract agreement who plays 50 games a year and is currently in a promotion race and his contract expires in the summer. Someone go figure, go find me this left back. But yeah, I don't know. Apparently that's a deal we've done already, according to Dara today.
Have you done any digging? Have you found out?
I found a 23-year-old left back.
Is that not Jody Jones?
Is he 20? He's no. much.
Jody Jones no, is sorry. Like 43. Jesus.
23. Sorry, I didn't catch. But he could be promotion from like the Danish second division.
Yeah, I found. Yeah, it could be. To be fair, he didn't specify a league. We assume League Two. Idris Oduteo was the one that I found. He plays for Bromley at the minute. He's their starting left back. He's got 5 goals and or like 5 assists and 2 goals this season, and has played consistently for them now for a number of years.
You don't think you're signing? Is it Josh Tomlinson back? Joe Tomlinson back?
Tomlinson.
He was at Posh before, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's gone away to MK Dons, and he's actually looked quite decent, I thought, there. So, you know, he's made a bit of a career for himself.
Well, it was Fergie he fell out with, not anyone else. So you never know. You never know. Honestly, I don't even know if he's... Dara says these things and he'll probably be a 25-year-old left-back, like that, you know, Dara's just... He was very vague, deliberately vague.
Yeah, I know you guys obviously find your difficulties in it, but as a neutral, I love listening to I do. I'm a big fan of the Hard Truth podcast because not only does it give you a bit of extra insight that you don't really get anywhere else. I get it's quite frustrating because it's your club, right? And you want to know the details, but maybe not quite to that extent, if that makes sense. But I don't know. I quite enjoy the Hard Truth podcast. I quite enjoy
it. But I think the problem is I don't think that people dislike it for what it is. It's just that there's mixed messages that come from it. Like we've heard today that player X is going to be back in 2 weeks, but or 4 weeks from Luke Williams, and then Dara says that he's going to be back in 2. So it's like, well,
yeah, I don't think that's really. I don't know what DMAT does on the where he is on the daily basis, but I don't think it's really down to the chairman to talk about injury news. Yeah. I think that's maybe down to the manager.
I think the issue is as well, like we. Pretty big fans of Dara on the podcast, I'd say, but a lot of what he says is, you know, sounds great to a neutral and paints him out in a very positive light, which obviously he's going to paint himself in a positive light. You know, he wouldn't be on there slagging himself off, but when he says things like, you know, we spent £6 million over the last few transfer windows, he doesn't then go on to finish that sentence and say, but about £3 million of it was wasted, for example, which obviously from a neutral, that sounds amazing. But from a Posh fan, stuff like that can just be absolute rage bait because it's like, you know, what are we doing here? And a lot of what he says, I would genuinely not change it. Like, I would rather him do it than not. I do like hearing from the chairman on a regular basis, but especially when we're losing, like last season, the episode started to really get on my nerves because we were constantly being told, you know, when this player comes back, we're going to be a different animal. When this player comes back, we're going to be that team and this team and whatever. And it doesn't come true. So it can be, it's great and terrible at the same time.
Yeah, I like I said, I quite enjoy it because think about a lot of clubs as well. They never hear from their chairman at all. And you guys are getting pretty much good, solid information, albeit probably through tinted glasses. I think he does a decent job. I quite enjoy it.
Right, Jake, I'm gonna round us up because we've got a backup Posh fan ready and waiting. But before you go, what's your score prediction for Posh versus Exeter tomorrow? God. And well, okay, let's see if you think that both teams are gonna score, give us a first goal scorer for each.
I'll go Posh 3, Exeter 1. I think your goal scorer will be, I like him, I like Brandon Keller. I think he's going to score from outside the box. I know he's got that in him. And then I'd say for them, I think the safe bet is probably Jaden Wareham because he's a bit of a bagsman in the, you know, so yeah, I think you'll win 3-1, but I think coincidentally, I think we'll win 3-1 as well away at Mansfield. So can't wait for that.
Well, quality. If you get that right, Jake, you deserve a medal.
I want more than a medal. I want the podcast to make a clip and say Lincoln are getting promoted, and then I want to put it on Twitter.
That's not happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't think it would.
Ice try, Jake. Ice try. Nice try.
That's four now, by the way.
Yeah. David, we're counting them up, pal.
That's four because I got two in. So let the record show. Right, is Jake. Thank you.
Is Keller injured?
Well, we don't know is the answer. This is the problem. We don't know if he's injured. We don't know whether his hips hurt.
Is it safe just to say Harry Leonard?
That's boring. What are you saying? Just go. Look, I'm going to change it. I'm changing your prediction. You're going Carl Johnston because Carl Johnston has to score. About to say
that was my next best. Yeah.
He's got to score at some point. Yeah.
He's a batsman, mate. He knows what he's doing.
To be fair, he has been flirting with taking a shot recently, hasn't he? He's got awfully close to the finish line.
Take some lessons there, Charlie.
Just on the outside edge of the box. So fingers crossed he can finally get it done and get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, hope so.
All right, Jake. Okay. Goodbye. Thank you.
Cheers, Jake.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
See ya. Right, let's not mess around here. Oh, somebody's saying that this Odetayo is smaller than Osterman.
By the way, I literally looked at the top team in League Two, found that their left back was 23, screenshot it, and sent it in the group chat. This is not a genuine theory. So,
but is he out of contract? Is he out of contract?
Yeah, no, I did check that, and yeah, he is out of contract in summer 2026.
So it does at least fit the.
It's plausible. It's plausible.
Oh well. We did have a backup pod friend, but they've literally just dropped out of the lobby.
He's back.
He's back. Let's just give him 30 seconds to sort himself out. Let's hope his internet doesn't fail him because, I've been seeing lots of TikToks this week about people's internet failing them and people at the Winter Olympics having their buses fail them as well. There was a guy that was stranded for like an hour and a half this week. He's named himself as Chaz's barber, although Zach, I'm going to be honest, your hair's looking a little bit ropey at the moment.
Zach, are you actually taking the piss? You can
houses.
Never talk.
I want to see what's under that fringe. I want to see what's under that because that hairline looks like it's.
You don't. But the difference is I'm 30 years of age and Chaz is barely 20. So.
Zach, I cannot believe. At least you should have at least brushed it before you came on. Jesus.
don't give me the 30 years of age because I'm 31 and my hairline's solid. So
is it? Who told you that?
I saw a video of you on Instagram this week on Instagram Reels in the barber's chair, sat there getting all the angles taken of you. That was cold.
Did you like it? I hope you did. You've got to support the barbers.
I think I might have liked it. I'm not sure.
If not, you're gonna have to go back and find it. I would like to just take aim and just tell everybody that my barber is the same barber that all of the Peterborough United football players use. So make of that what you will. Zach, when was the last time that you were on? Wasn't it really recently?
Yeah, before Stevenage. Yeah.
And how did that go for us? What did you predict then?
I think I went positive, went like 2-0, and then we lost 1-0. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we look, as we said to Jake there, we had some extenuating circumstances, didn't we? I.e. that we had no defence, but we've got no defence again. Here we are, back round again. What did you obviously sat next to me, didn't you?
Barnsley.
What did you make of Kyoso's performance at centre back?
He's all right. I don't mind him there. Like, he was all right against Stevenage when we were there. He's all right there now. I'd rather have a proper centre back, but I'd rather have Kikpe and Lees. But obviously that's not going to happen for a fair while. I wouldn't mind him there again, but I also at the same time wouldn't sign Mendonca playing again because Vin Mendonca had a great game against Stevenage. But no, shaking your head.
No, I agree. I actually thought Kyoso was fine. I largely actually thought he had a good game. I thought first of all he was fouled. For the goal, categorically was fouled. That was like a tackle out of ice hockey, not football. So that was a foul. But I also thought he was solid. Like I don't think you can really blame him. Like Barnsley, it wasn't as if Barnsley we made a load of defensive errors and Barnsley was hammering us. Like, I didn't feel like that was maybe in the second half a couple of times they got in behind us, but I don't think it was that bad. I don't know.
I think Barnsley and Peterborough are just the same team, just playing different colours. Terrible at the back, kind of, and then going forward were okay, and they just won that duel on Tuesday night, to be honest. I think that's quite the same. I think, yeah, we could make excuses and we can say we should have closed down the shot and on the first goal and everything else, but like at the end of the day, we've been looking a bit shaky at the back recently. I think it was an improved performance against Bradford's, but as Ash said, early doors, I think we need to turn it around this weekend. So, yeah.
Do you know what? I think despite what all of the outrageous stuff that Dara does say, he is right when it comes to the defence, isn't he? That there's been more twists and turns than a figure skater's routine in our back four this season. And when was the last time that we actually managed to... That's nine, by the way. when was the last time that we actually managed to put together a run of seven or eight games where we had the same defence? And it just doesn't happen. Going back to the Mendonca comment, though, I just think that when you've got Wareham, when you've got McGuinness, the other guy, two big, strong centre-backs, we saw what McGuinness did to CJ, and obviously Mendonca is considerably taller than CJ, but you then look at what happened to Mendonca for Bradford's second goal at the weekend, and the guy barely got off the floor as he had somebody literally just with his arm on his shoulder, didn't he? So it just, I don't want to overexpose these people on games that technically still mean something, because we could go up, we could go down, and I just don't think it would be right to give them 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes.
That's a fair comment. As I said, as we've all said, Chiosa's not done a bad job, so I'm not completely against Chiosa starting, I guess. I guess it's that natural centre-back feeling I have, but yeah, no, I agree with that, to be honest. I understand that anyway. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Chiosa starting tomorrow. Again, I don't think he's done anything wrong to suggest he shouldn't at centre-back. Yeah, I agree.
What I would say is, now, I'm going to preface this by saying I like Harry Leonard, but on Tuesday night, he missed a couple of absolute sitters, probably three sitters. Do you think Posh fans, you know, put him on a podium a bit too much? That's 10, by the way. Do you think we, you know, put him too high up on that podium to the point where he's sort of immune from criticism that, for example, if a Gustav Lindgren missed the chances that Harry Leonard did, or Ricky J. Jones missed those chances, they would have been slaughtered after Tuesday, surely?
Yes, I do agree. I completely understand that. I think the thing is, Harry Leonard has scored enough goals this season to kind of give him a bit of a leeway, I think. But I do agree that those chances he should be scoring, especially as a £1 million striker and this 11 p.m. deal we got put through and everything else. And I think Lindgren didn't score enough to willingly have that excuse as such. You know what, Leonard could turn up, but I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I don't know if Leonard is the main issue. If that makes sense, like, I think he's allowed an off game, and I think, you know, he's not going to score every shot, he's not going to have a good game. Strikers forget their boots sometimes, and I just think he's more likely to put those away than he isn't, if that makes sense. Just one of them days, one of them nights, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that that is not tenuous at all, Kellen. That is podium is a very Olympic word, very Olympic. Are you concerned then? We've lost two games in a row. We started dropping down the table like a bobsleigh. Are you sure that we are going to turn it around on Saturday? Are you confident that we're going to be able to bring it back?
No, not really. I'm not confident. I think it's going to be one of those games where they're so physical and so honest. I don't know if it's... I think it's been an ugly game of football. I don't think we're going to be allowed to play. I think Jake's right. If we score, their heads might drop and we might do it, but if we struggle to break them down, if it's anything like Stevenage, then I think it's a long, long afternoon, personally.
Do you know what? It is so difficult to tell, because, like you say, we could pass Exeter off the pitch tomorrow like we did with Wigan. Like, Wigan aren't the most physical of teams, but we've not played on our pitch for... well, what was that, two weekends now? So it's going to be in good condition, you'd hope. It's not rained massively today. Fingers crossed the drainage is sorted from COVID. Obviously, we've not seen it in that state for a long, long time. But I just hope that we can pass the ball and that the players aren't too tired. Like, was there reference as well? Chaz, you mentioned Harry Leonard. he's not training at the moment. Is that right? Because he's carrying a knock or something. Am I right in saying that, or am I making it up? I don't know.
I have no idea, to be honest. I'm sure somebody put that
in the group chat. Somebody put it in the group chat earlier that they didn't think that Harry Leonard was training, which is why he's not scoring. But a good striker always knows where the back of the net is, don't they? That's the argument. But I think that, Zach, where you said Gustav Lindgren, I think that Leonard brings considerably more to other players' games compared to what Lindgren did, because Harry Leonard doesn't mind having his back to the goal, does he? So, I feel confident. I feel relatively confident. It can't be any worse than the last two games, like certainly Bradford.
I tell you what it is, and I don't know if it's just me noticing this, because I like JJ, and I really like JJ, but I feel he's a bit greedy. And I feel that sometimes then play passes together, him and Leonard, and you're like, these two like clearly like playing together, like, and they could do that. But I just think he's a bit too greedy when he does these mazy runs and he gets in good positions. And it's like sometimes he could pass like 2-3 times and he doesn't. And then we lose the ball or something like that happens. And I'm like, there are a couple of times where if he feeds Leonard when Leonard wants that ball, give Leonard the opportunity. I know he missed a couple at Barnsley, but there was also a couple of times where I think one he got away with, he's got the free kick, which he just hit the wall anyway. But I think the other one, he's just like, moving, he's done a decent run. And I was like, right, play it Hayes, play it somewhere. And then it's just like, yeah, and it comes to nothing. I think he's a little bit greedy. And I get he's young and he wants to impress and he's enjoying playing for the club, which is great, which is what you want. But I feel like sometimes it's like, you know, there's a team there, you've got a striker there. Play him, play together. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just me on JJ. But
yeah, no, I have similar frustrations. I thought Tuesday night was the worst I've seen from him in terms of that greed. It felt like he wasn't willing to pass the ball. And if he'd released it earlier, it would have been a lot better off. He was often just running it into crowded areas. One moment that is living rent-free in my head from Tuesday night is that corner in the last seconds of the game. I don't know why. I when it was being taken, I had visions of Kean Hayes just curling that in. Yeah, hey, David, curling. Yeah. just getting that into the box, straight onto the head of, you know, David Akagbue or you know, Penny, who was in there as well. It just didn't happen, did it? What were your thoughts on that one?
No, that was just the icing on a terrible Tuesday night cake, a really cold Tuesday night cake, I'll tell you that. But the thing is, I mean, he should have put it into the house, which if you're a curling fan, that counts, by the way, because that's what they call a circle. All right. So that's 12, whatever it is now. My two cents. Anyway, he should have just put it in there. And obviously he tried and he fucked it. But I think corners, I think you mentioned it on the final whistle episode, is I don't see us doing anything from corners. It's a short corner routine where it never goes in the box anyway. It's just, would it have mattered? It was, yeah, visions are great, but would it have really mattered? Let's be honest.
No, the simple answer is no, it wouldn't, because we are crap from set pieces and we just can't get it right. For some reason, and I don't really know what I'm thinking. I'm gonna have a little precursor for our predictions. I predicted Dave to first goal scorer tomorrow because I've just thought, well, maybe they don't want him doing running, do they? Lots of running in training. They want to let him like get their energy back. What better thing to work on than set pieces? Low intensity, lots of positional work. Dave's going to score at some point, isn't he? I don't think he's scored for Posh yet, has he? So that's where my prediction is going. And we've got to score from a corner soon. It can't go on like this.
Well, to score from there, we could probably put it in the box. I think the only chance for it is when Garbutt was on the edge of the box. If he scored against... Who did he score against? Was it Blackpool? When we equalised, he scored on the edge of the box. Something like that. That's the only chance. But at the moment, we were passing it to Johnston, who, again, he could put a thunder bastard in the top corner tomorrow and I'll hold my hands up and say unreal. But I don't think he's got the facilities for that at the moment, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Right, should we move on to score predictions? Because I want to hear a specific score prediction from you, Zach. I want goal scorers. I want times of goals. I want celebrations. Give me detail. You know I like the detail. You've watched this show enough times. tell me what you think the key to us winning this game is going to be.
Oh, no, because I don't think we win it. I think we lose 1-0. I'm not even kidding.
Bringing that level of negativity, 1-0 lost. Have you put that in? I'm VARing that. Charlie, hold the fort. Right, you haven't submitted yet. So if I don't see a 1-0 go in, then there's going to be some serious trouble.
For the slight positivity, I'll say 1-1, and they'll go 1-0 up, and then Cole Johnson will score a thunderbust in the 93rd minute.
Right, well, I would just like to remind everybody that the last time that we played a team that had like drawn like 4 games in a row, so Mansfield had drawn 4 games in a row, only scoring 2 goals in those games, and then we beat them. Exeter, yeah,
only because Alex Bass turned into Buffon.
That's what you got to do. Like, you
don't, you're wrong. I'm glad.
Doesn't he? Exeter have drawn their last 3 games and have only scored 1 goal. So I think that if we get into our flow on Peterborough's very own Wembley and the pitch is in good condition, the grass is cut nice and short, the groundsmen have done a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to seeing the green grass at London Road tomorrow, that's for sure. I think there's a chance that we can play them off the pitch. And I don't think that we should be negative heading into tomorrow, because what Luke Williams has done time and time again after bad results is he bounces back. And I think that tomorrow's got to be that bounce back.
Yeah, you've convinced me. 6-0 Posh, 6 goals for Archie Collins. There you go.
Yeah, well, I'll look forward to seeing that one on the predictions league, eh? Well, Zach, thank you very much anyway.
That's a pleasure.
For joining us, Zach.
Zach, I'll DM you my barber's number, yeah?
Nah, that's all right, mate.
I don't think that you might need to do like a charity shave, the pair of you.
I've only got about 1 haircut left.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you, Zach.
See you later.
See you later.
Right, Chaz. Should we move on to our predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Change my banner. Remind everybody to submit their predictions for the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League at www.uppodcast.com/NLBC-predictions-league. As always, I will go and do mine, and then I will read out the 4 hosts that aren't with us tonight, and then Charlie can talk us through his. Have I got the right graphic? Yes, I have. I have gone with a comfortable 2-0 Peterborough United win, as mentioned earlier. David Akambu to score first. Harry has gone with a thriller. Posh to win 3-2. Kyra Lisby, first goal scorer. John does think that we are going to concede, unlike me, and has gone 2-1 for Posh to win with Harry Leonard, of course. Lods is backing Posh to be right back in the goals with a 4-1 Posh win. Declan Frith to score first. And Max has matched me but gone for a different first goal scorer with Harry Leonard. Charlie, which female in a bar has picked your prediction this week? And did you manage to spend the rest of the evening with them?
I picked my prediction this week, so I don't know what you're talking about. I spent the rest of the evening with myself, yes. I've gone 3-1, I've gone Declan Frith. I was encouraged by Frith's performance at Barnsley, so I think he's earned the shirt again tomorrow. I thought he played well, and I just think time's coming for him to get a goal. He will cut in from the right-hand side, shoot at goal, and it will curl in. And then I just think I don't see us keeping a clean sheet. I just feel like we're going to have a couple of wobbly moments, because when you lose 2 games in a row, there's often wobbly moments. You sort of have to get confidence back into your game before you can fully eradicate those. But I do see us having enough attacking quality to quite easily brush Exeter aside. I don't see them causing us a problem, really, in the slightest.
You said that it takes us a few games to get back into the rhythm before brushing people aside, but the last time we lost 2 games in a row, we then went and spanked Wigan 6-1. So.
No, hang on a minute. That you've just proven my point. What happened in that game? Carl Johnston made a sloppy error and we conceded a goal. That's what I was saying is going to happen tomorrow. We'll make some sloppy errors at the back. The confidence needs to fully be back in our game before we can start, you know, going full games without making clangers at the back. I just think that's going to be the case.
Basic mistakes. Right. I'm going to go back through the comments now. Just for everybody that's wondering what we're counting here, David Hare coaching goaded us into some Winter Olympic related puns or gags. So if you are in the comments, I would love to hear your best Peterborough United / winter sports related gags. And then maybe we'll read out some of the best ones. I like Turtle 6767 has asked if Lizzy will be injured for tomorrow. He's not. I think he's fine.
No, he's definitely fit.
He literally was just stiff from spending too long on the bus.
I've got a question.
This is a good point.
Yeah.
GH close may not help the lads tomorrow. I think that look, Exeter, they travel well considering where they are, don't they? But they're certainly not the biggest team in Devon. So I'm not expecting them to bring too many fans. And what would be quite important is that they obviously do have a big drum as well. Massive I will be interested drum. To know whether the club allow that drum into the stand. Fingers crossed they don't, because look, if any drummers are going to be appearing at the game tomorrow, they're going to be in the London Road End, I would imagine. And we all know that that roof in the London Road End holds the sound like no tomorrow. So I wouldn't want to be hearing an Exeter drum over a Peterborough United drum. Chaz, your question?
Well, this guy keeps making references to me being dressed for espionage. And I don't actually know. I've been trying to work out. He's made it at least 3 times now. I actually don't get what reference he's referring to. Like, is there a famous spy that often wears a cream jacket over a white T-shirt? Is it something to do with my hair, my headphone? I really just want Euro Hockey Hub to really spell it out for me, because I'm not getting that reference at all.
Oh, I just had to Google what espionage meant, so I'm totally out of the game here. Having your best players down the spine of the team, what a novel idea. I do think that is important. As good as Archie Collins is, did we discuss this last week? I lose track of what episode I say it on or whether I say it in group chats, is that we've always had a good core down the middle in Peterborough United. I mean, even like, I'm sure that Dara mentioned Ollie Norburn recently, like just one of those players that's not afraid to put in a tackle and hurt someone. And we've not had that over the last couple of years. So,
well, I don't know.
Hopefully we can find that.
I think that's harsh to say that our best players aren't in the spine of our team. What is
What I meant was, is that when we've been really good and got promotions, we've always had that type of player, like Grant McCann, Ollie Norburn, and I'm sure I mentioned it on a recording, Anthony Grant, like those sorts.
Yeah, Dickens, you did.
All of
yeah,
those.
You did,
like,
yeah.
That's the player that I think that we're missing. As good as Archie Collins is, if we can find the right replacement for him, then I think that we're laughing. And I think that that needs to be somebody that we bring in. I know that Luke Williams potentially suggested that he thinks that that player is already in the building, but I just think it's a massive risk. You need some experience, don't you, through the team?
See, I see a bit of that in, but I see a bit of that in Brandon Keller, actually. Like, he's definitely got a bit of bite about him, but I see a lot of that in Ben Woods. Like, I know he's maybe a bit more. I think the issue with Woods is he's classier than Norburn. Like, Norburn was nasty and looked like, not, you know, calling him ugly or anything, but he looked nasty. And he was like, you know, you could just tell when you watched him, even the way he would walk out and he'd clap weirdly, you know, you could just tell that he was going to be an absolute nightmare to play against. Ben Woods, because he's got that extra little classy element to him of, you know, the little flicks and kicks and the stuff that he was doing really well at the start of the season. He's sort of like Adam Wharton in a way that Adam Wharton also is a nasty player. When you watch him play, he is nasty. But because he's classy, people don't notice. So I actually do agree with Luke Williams. And I don't think we're missing a prick. That's basically what we're saying, isn't it? We're missing a prick in the middle of the pitch. I actually don't think we are. I think, you know, when we were in the 23-24 season, I know we didn't get promoted, but that's the best football I've watched us play. And that, you know, neither of those midfielders, they had bite about them when they needed to. And we were a squad that would fight for each other. But I don't think we need a nasty player. I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, but then I do think that somebody like Josh Knight was that player that wasn't afraid to just really go into a tackle. And even JCH, right? Like, you're forgetting all these players that they did exist. Like, that I know that we had, like, plenty of, like, what are they called? Like, luxury players?
Yeah, luxury players, yeah.
Good ball players, so, but yeah.
I don't know. We've got, I think we've got some nuts. Like, Lisby is a shit house, like a proper shit house. Harley Mills is a nasty player when he wants to be. He doesn't mind a tackle. Akagbue, I know he's sort of a quiet guy in himself, but he wouldn't shirk a challenge ever, I don't think. Tom Lees is similar. I think that's not been the issue for us this season. I don't think that is in any way something that we've lacked, to be honest.
I'm just going to pull up this comment from Scotty, right? just because Caden Jackson has scored against an 18-year-old at the back post doesn't make him a good footballer. He is crap. Just go and look at his goal scoring record for a striker. Like, just because he scored against us doesn't make him a world beater. I will stand by the fact that he's not a very good footballer, which is why he's never done anything with his career. That being said, where are, no chance, no chance Jimmy J. Morgan scores tomorrow. He loves the GH display. That is a good point. Yeah, this is kind of some gutting news. This is bad news, isn't it, Charlie? We obviously saw from the, was it BBC Radio Cams? They mentioned that four players, Hughes, Mills, Woods and Garbett, are all not back until the middle of March. That's bad news, isn't it? I don't think that can be, even if you put a fingers crossed on it, and you can't tell that as good news, can you?
No, that's bad. Am I going to do it? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have a little rant now. I am so annoyed at just the way that, I'm actually not going to go off about the way the injuries have been communicated to us. But, like, Garbett showed up in a boot. We were told it's precautionary, and he's now out to the middle of March. That's going to mean he's out for, like, over a month and a half? When did he show up in the boot? Six-week injury.
It was the Wigan game.
You know, yeah, Phil, that's not an insignificant, you know, oh, he's got a little shiner under his moon boot. That is a big, significant injury. That is, you know, bad, really bad. I hope he can get himself fit and that we don't try and rush him back, because I would, first of all, for, you know, it's not good to have an unfit player playing, but also I want Garbett to keep liking us. And if we rushed him back and then he got injured again and missed the World Cup because we'd rushed him back, I mean, I don't understand how you recover from that. He's always going to have animosity against the people that did that to him. And that would be Peterborough United Football Club. So I hope we don't rush him back. And the whole injury thing's blown up again today, hasn't it? Because, well, we've just had Dara's hard truth where we found out supposedly Keller and Donny O'Brien Brady were both injured, something we didn't know about. And then magically they're now fit again. So they weren't injured. They just had a couple of sore, they had a sore leg after playing a game. Whoop-de-doo. That happens pretty much to every footballer. It felt like that was a weird thing to say. And there was, well, I guess it's time to talk about the hard truth, Ash. But we've been through a lot of the comments. Do you think it's time? Because I have comments to be made.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've listened to the first 4 minutes and I've not listened to anything more. So if you have comments, not that I'm dipping out of this, because, you know, you're going to be a solo gobshite if you've got comments to make on this, Charlie. But maybe we need to sub in for somebody else that has actually watched it. But maybe if anybody else that's watching at the moment can tell us about the comments and also give their comments on what they heard on The Hard Truth, that would be good as well. And I can pull them up and read them out.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be a gobshite, because I'm not going to, you know, slag Dara off personally. But here's my thing, right? First of all, we were mentioned again. Well, he said, you know, the Poshcast or whatever they're called is what he called us. So that's fun. But yeah, we were mentioned about, well, first of all, he said, sharp Fleetwood Zach, he said, right, we've been mocking the fact that he's had a cracked mirror. And then he basically said a bit later, like literally 10 seconds later, he said, oh, can't people have fun on podcasts anymore? Well, apparently not, because we've committed some grave sin by mocking your cracked mirror, which is the thing you brought up, first of all. Then he went on to talk about the Bradford thing and, you know, we wouldn't have one player that gets into Bradford's 11, which I said. And to be fair, after watching them last week, maybe one or two, but I still stand by it as a general point. I think we've got a much better squad than them on paper. But what I don't understand is why we have to be so defensive on every podcast. Like, why can't we just say, yeah, Bradford, there's always a but, I think, on The Hard Truth. And it's become evident recently. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, we wouldn't have won that. Bradford outplayed us, but we ran out of steam. You know, but I said, Bradford outplayed us, but I told the gaffer to play the kids, to be honest. Like, why can't we just admit that we got beaten by a much better side on the day? And I know that, obviously, we did have injuries and it may have been a closer game with the full squad fit, but we were just beaten by a better team on the day. It doesn't mean Bradford are a better team than us. It doesn't mean that, you know, they have a better squad than us, but we were beaten by a better team. Also, I think the whole, you know, he ended up having a bit of a nibble on something Lods added him in on Twitter, basically saying that Luke Williams doesn't put... So he said, basically, Williams said that the players will be back mid-March. Dara gave him all basically 2 weeks. He said, Williams doesn't like to overpromise. Fine. You know, I'd rather be told a player's coming back in 3 weeks' time and they come back in 2 weeks' time and be pleasantly surprised than be told a player's coming back in 3 weeks and they come back in 4 weeks and be like, well, you know, what's happened there? But if Williams doesn't want to overpromise, then isn't Dara massively letting his manager down by going on a podcast and then saying, oh, they'll be back in 2 weeks? If the policy now is let's not overpromise on injuries, let's not put pressure on the sports science and medical department, Dara's just done that by saying they'll all be back in 2 weeks' time. So, you know, if Williams actually doesn't want to overpromise, fine. But let's not then, you know, go over his head and overpromise ourselves. I don't think we need to be doing fitness updates on the Hard Truth podcast, to be honest. It's just not a necessary thing. There's plenty of good things he talks about. I enjoy the podcast. I think it's a good listen. And there's loads of stuff that he says that is of real value, not only to Posh fans, but to EFL fans in general. We heard Jake earlier talk about the fact that he loves listening to The Hard Truth and he finds it really insightful. And so do I. And I don't miss an episode. But like, we don't need to be, you know, going into the nitty gritty of stuff and then getting so defensive when people are like, oh, that was a bit of a weird thing to say. It's like every week now, every week we've gone back to, we were on the blacklist for a few weeks, but every week now it's gone back to him having something to say about us. You know, last week he invented live streaming and acted as if we haven't been streaming once a week this entire season. This week, you know, we're taking the mick out of him and his mirror and, you know, that's supposedly out of order. Like, what's going on, man? It's a really tough listen sometimes after we lose. It's a really tough listen. And it was again today for me. I'm not going to lie. I really didn't enjoy that episode today at all.
Well, as Fleetwood Zach says, at least you're taking it well, Chas. Yeah, I look, sometimes you just have to sit and listen, don't you? And just enjoy it. I haven't said anything in over 4.5 minutes. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Like you don't know exactly what's going on because we aren't told, and then we're told snippets of information, and then it's a different snippet of information. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, I think the Garbutt one's like the most surprising, isn't it? It's a 2 week. He's got a moon boot on to protect his foot, and then all of a sudden it's 6 weeks, right? Like, how does something escalate like that? And it is what it is. Like, it's one of them where I just think that you want to just say, let's get this season over and done with. It's when's the last game of the season? Is it like May the 6th or something? So we've got two and a bit months left to go, and let's just get through it. Everybody can have a relax. Everybody can go and enjoy their summer holidays, and then they can come back and we can start again. We can get rid of the deadwood. Like I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to that. That is Luke Williams' retain list at the end of the season. I would love to know what he wants to keep around and what he is happy to get rid of come the end of the season.
Yeah, to be fair, I do think it's going to be... The retain list isn't what I'm excited for. I think it's going to be quite underwhelming just because, like, I think you've got to play the game with the retain list. You know, there'll be players on there that Williams would be happy to keep around if we can't sell them, like, as, you know, a character in the changing room. And then there'll be players that Williams doesn't want and isn't interested in that won't be on the transfer list because, you know, what, you tank someone's value by, what, 100 to 150 grand for an average player by putting them on the transfer list, I reckon. Like, it definitely decreases their value, doesn't it? Because it says, but it puts them on sale, basically. So, yeah, I don't know. I think... I am really excited for the new transfer window. I'm excited that we've got a signing done already. I'm excited for what Williams is going to do. And I'm excited for next season. I think the Hard Truth today and the week of Peterborough United stuff that's happened, you know, losing to Bradford, losing to Barnsley, has sort of dampened my excitement for the end of this season. I think there's still a chance, obviously, of a playoff push because we're 5 points off. It'll be absolutely stupid to say that there's no mathematical chance. But I think it's very, very unrealistic at this point. And yeah, we are just waiting for that last game of the season to roll around. And it's a shame that we haven't got something like the Virtue Trophy or something like that to just keep us ticking over and keep the excitement until the end of the season.
I think we just need to forget the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. We're going to start a defence that's got three right backs tomorrow. And that's no slight on all three of those right backs that are playing. But there's just no fluidity when you've got a right back at centre back, a right back at right back, and then a right back at left back. Like you just can't work with it. It's just not feasible, is it? Then you look further up the pitch and we've got player A, player B, player C all to carry in knock, so they're not playing at 100%. I, like you, Charlie, in your prediction, think that Frith comes out tomorrow and has another good game. I think that he was good on Tuesday night, all things considered. If he can get the ball and get the ball out of his feet, and you mentioned Jimmy J. Morgan as well, maybe it was somebody in the comments that mentioned it, him hanging onto the ball for just a little bit too long. I think that Frith is also guilty of that. So if they can work on that and maybe not, I don't want to say selfish, because a professional footballer of Jimmy J. Morgan's quality is always going to think, right, if I can run with the ball, I'll give myself a chance to shoot. We saw it with Frith. He chopped a defender, didn't he? Sent a defender sideways shot, and then Lisby's there to finish the ball off. But I think the sooner that we just accept that the playoffs are done, the better, because it's unnecessary pressure on a young team, I would say, especially with all of the injuries to the experienced players.
I don't know. I still look at our 11. Like, what I will say is, I don't think we're going to get playoffs. Like, if you ask me where we're going to finish, I'd say 10th right now. But what I will say is, I don't agree with what Zach's just said. I actually think, well, it depends on who we've got fit. But our 11, our best 11, which hopefully will be entirely fit by the end of the season, which for me is Bass, Mills, you know, either it's Dave and then either Hughes or Lees, with, if Chiesa returns to form, him at right back, or the right back spot's pretty decent. And then obviously you've got Collins and Woods and Garbett and Lisby and Leonard, and then one of the right wingers potentially, or Jimmy J. That is a brilliant, a really good League One starting 11, in my opinion. Like, that would not get shredded in the playoffs. You know, Bolton are going to be one of the teams that are going to have us home second leg in the playoffs probably. And we beat them quite comfortably in January. So I'm not concerned about that, but I do think it's over for this season, unfortunately. And what Matt said is true. This was the season where Dara said he was going to make it up to us. I think there's been enough enjoyment for me to just about say I've enjoyed this season, but it's not been the sort of great season we were hoping for. And what I will say is, we spoke earlier to Jake, didn't we? And he said next season's League One is going to be grim. And he basically read out the teams that are going to be in it fighting for promotion. And it's going to be tough, man. And unfortunately, this would have been literally our best. I mean, Lincoln are in the automatic promotion spot. Lincoln, I have a lot of respect for the people at the club and what they do. And, you know, they announced their new infrastructure today and it all looks great. But, you know, they're a club of a very similar size to Posh. And if we'd just got last season right, and this had been the second season of the project, rather than next season being the second season of the project, well, this could have been a very, very different campaign, couldn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Shall we leave it there? Shall we finish? Are you going to tell me what you're doing with your Saturday because you're not going to the game tomorrow, are you, Chaz?
No, it's my brother's football. It's the third weekend of their league season. They play it across 5 weekends. They're currently top of the table. I think they play against second on Sunday, so it's a big weekend. 4 games, intense competition. So I'm there. I'm commentating. I'm going to be loving it. The WFA TV on YouTube for anybody who fancies tuning in. My brother's team's called Aspire. All the games will be individually scheduled, I think, so you can click on any of them and see him play. Should be some good football.
What time is kickoff?
We've got an 11:50 tomorrow, a 3:20 tomorrow, and then Sunday there's a 9:15 and a 12:45, I think.
And where are you going?
Nottingham.
Oh, wow. You might bump into Mr. Marinakis then.
I might. Never know. Mr. McAntoninakis.
Look, John needs to catch up. John was clearly not watching at the start of the episode before we go. Charlie is dressed up to impress because he is going round to a friend who he did not confirm is male or female to go and play Wii Sports. And
actually, I said I might be.
I should go back to the comment, but I'm not going to find it. What's your favourite Wii Sports game, Charlie? We've done this already. I'm sure we've done this. I'm getting deja vu because I wasn't on this episode, but you went and got.
I remember you going to get a picture of the big wee bowler.
Yeah, the hundred pin bowler.
I like. You know, I was a big fan of tennis. Like, I loved the wee tennis, especially when you played against like your mate, and you both stood in there, a bit of space, and you were both stood there. You know, but going back, you know, I used to love that. The tennis was quality. But yeah, to be fair, we can't really go wrong with Wii games. You know what I saw for the first time a few weeks ago? It was like some skiing thing. That's another Winter Olympics reference, by the way. There genuinely was skiing. It was like on water, and it was like they were doing flips and like, and I didn't get it, and I didn't understand. But that looked quite good. But yeah, it's definitely for me. Definitely tennis. I like the tennis. It's quality.
Right. But
yeah. I haven't really got anything else to say, to be honest. Wow.
Let's leave it there. Bob, slay your uncle. Up the podcast.
Up the alpine skiing podcast.